Pray that each one of you's had a good week. I know it's been a cold one, but still it's been a good week. It is a good week because the Lord's made it. He made every day. I know it's cold, and I know we complain about the cold weather. We complain about the heat and all of that. But we're just complaining people. We're just going to complain about something. So, and we know too, as we do complain, we know that, hey, he said, if y'all want to complain, I want to let y'all go on and complain. I ain't going to do nothing. I'm going to just go on back and help somebody else that's not going to complain. Oh, me. But I tell you what. I thank the Lord for. I really do. More and more. Today, I thank him. I know that he's on the throne. He's still taking care of us. And we don't even understand why he does that. Because I don't think there's a one in here, especially me, it's not worthy of it. It's not worthy for him to even look down upon me and say, just don't worry about it. I'm still in control. But, you know, I've come to find out more and more. We just need to trust him. We just need to trust him. This morning I was aiming to go to the book of Jeremiah, but the Lord wouldn't let me do it, so I'm over here in the book of Luke, and I may even preach this before, I don't know. But even though it's a hell, it's not that where the Word of God cannot be preached over and over and over. And I think it's nothing in this Bible that has not been preached. And been preached more than one time or two times or whatever. But today I just want to look at some things here, and as the Lord leads, and I'm praying that he will give me the words that I need to say. But I got some notes here in my Bible that I've written down before, but I just don't know what the Lord has in mind. But I know one thing, that I believe that I'm following the leadership of the Holy Spirit this morning. I believe this is what he would have me to preach from this morning. But here in the book of Luke, chapter 18. And we're going to start up at verse 31. No, I'm going to go on back. I'm going to go on back a little further than that. I'm going to go back to verse 24. Chapter 18, the book of Luke, verse 24. And he says this, And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easy for a camel to go through the eyes of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they that heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" Who then can be saved? This was the question that they asked, and they asked the Lord. And the reason they asked the question was because they was thinking about the verse before it. Said it was easier for a man, an individual, to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man. And they that heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" And he said, "These the things which are impossible with men are possible with God." That one little verse right there, I could stay on it all day long. And I don't know if anybody else that can't either. Stay on that one verse all day long. And you still wouldn't exhaust everything out of it. Because, you know, the things which God does for each one of us, to us, to me, and to each one of us, we think it's impossible. But when we think it's impossible, then that's when we say, "Lord, I'm going to leave it up to you." And then he's going to turn around that impossible that we believe, and he's going to turn it around where it's going to be impossibility. He's going to bring it forth, and he's going to answer it according to his son's will. He's going to answer it not because I want it answered and not because I'm waiting for an answer. He answers it for my own need. See, he knows what my need is. He knows what tomorrow's going to bring. I don't know. If anybody knows what tomorrow's going to bring, I'd like for them to come up and tell me, because I do not know. But I do know one thing. He holds me in the palm of his hands. In the palm of his hands. And he will not open his hands to where I may fall out. Now, when he said, "I will put you under my care," he meant it. He meant it by putting us under his care. And being put under his care, he has asked us also to be the watchman of the people that don't know anything about him. Now, I'm not going to ask nobody to raise their hand, because I'm sure probably all of you can raise your hand if you knew somebody that wasn't saved. But they are the ones that he wants us to watch and be at the point of going and being a friend to them. Because see, Jesus Christ was my friend before I called him friend. Because he hung on the cross. What it said in John chapter 15, I believe it is, in 32, 33, somewhere like that. It says, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he called me his friend. He's a friend. Go to the cross. I know that's not word for word, but I'm gonna read right here. Chapter 15. And verse 13, excuse me. It says, greater love hath no man. Greater love. That's not speaking about man. That's not speaking about me. That's not speaking about you. It says, greater love hath no man than this. Than who? The Lord Jesus Christ. That a man would lay down his life and I like the other three words for his friend. This was before that I was even birthed into this world. This was before that my mother was even birthed into the world. He called us his friend. And he went to Calvary because of that. Now, he's a friend, and he sticketh closer than a brother. I don't understand it. I just don't understand what, no more than what I've done. I don't understand why he would call me his friend. But he did. And then in August of 1980, I realized right then what he was calling me. I realized right then when he said, for his friends, he gave his life for me. Gave his life for you. And the date that we got saved, then we could call him our friend. We could call him our friend before that time because he wasn't our friend. You know who our friend was? Satan, the devil. Because we was doing everything he asked us to do. And I believe if we are a friend to anybody, we're going to do our very best to help them. Help them in whatever they need. And we don't go out here and spread it and tell other people about this and that and what somebody else has done or something like that. No, we're supposed to be a friend to them. Where they can come and they can confide in us. And they can be able to tell us what may be bothering them. Or they may ask us to pray, and they have enough confidence in us that we can go to the Lord in prayer. We need to have more Christians today to where they are at the point of in their own life that they can be able to not have to worry about this or that. that if somebody will come up and say something to them and say, you know, I believe that you're a Christian. And I believe that you can get in touch with God. We don't hear that much anymore. Why? It's because the way society has gotten, the way this society has gotten, you know, me and my wife was talking on the way down here, but you know, churches, this day and time, what they looking for?
They want to make sure that they got a board up there. And they got a Sunday school up there. Then they got the Sunday school offering up there. And then they got the worship service up there and the attendance there. They got the offering for the day there. See, they call, majority of the preachers today call it the offering. They don't call it tithes and offering. They call it offering. Well, yes, that's what the Lord blesses us on, is the offering. But he also tells us we must tithe. And upon that 10% that we give, it's his. Now we can either give it freely, or we can give it grudgingly. When we give it grudgingly, that's when he said, well, you know, I gotta get it. I mean, you know, you owe it to me, and I need it. I need to get the work done. You ever thought about when you're here, when a car breaks down? Or when the hot water heat in the house breaks down or something breaks down that we have not foreseen to where we have to spend a little money for. Have we ever thought about it? That, hey, that's the Lord. He's going to get his money. We're not going to keep it. He's not going to allow us to keep it. Only way he allows us to keep it is we give the tithe, the 10%, and then we give the offering, the little sacrifice. And you know, we can give $10 of the $100 or whatever in the tithes, but then if we give 50 cents more, just think about what that 50 cent is going to bring us. Hey, I don't need his money. Only thing I just need him. I don't need his money. And I don't want to rob him. I did. I robbed him there for so many years there first. And that's one reason that I done what I done by going out and visiting. Not just once a week, but I went every day just about. Why? At that time, I didn't have the money. But I went out and worked for him. See, it's not all about, I don't even know why I even got off on this.
But it's not all about the money with the Lord. You know what he would rather for us to do than turn around and give him what money that we have or what money we can come up with? You know what he'd rather for us to do? Is go out here in the world and brag about him. And tell people about what he's done for each one of us. And if we do that, you don't have to worry about it. Don't have to worry about this and that. You don't have to worry about the monetary goods. Because he's going to bless you. See, that's what God does. See, he is also, he's the Lord Jesus. He's in the soul-saving business. The Holy Spirit's in the convicting business. And God the Father, his Son is, he is in the business of writing our name down in Lamb's Book of Life. And each one's got their unique way of doing things. But the one thing that I admire about him and I love about him is his blessings. He wants to bless me more than I can ever imagine. He wants to bless you more than you can ever imagine. He wants to bless Faith Baptist Church more than what this collective body could ever imagine. We just need to show other people that, yeah, we love him. We don't need to show the people, I go to church and everything. Well, I know you go to church, but see where you going and everything. But we notice too that while you are going to church, there's a certain things that you want done. And we need to think about it. We need to think about him. And we need to think about, too, his feelings. He thinks about our feelings. Amen. But now, he has thought about us. He thinks about our infirmities. He thinks about our feelings. He thinks about the things that we want to do, but we can't do it. So many times we'll try to do things and we'll try to do it without him. And when we do that, it don't work. It's not going to work without him. He has got to be the center of it. And it's got to be done because of him and for him. Because the last time that anybody ever seen the Lord Jesus Christ was after the resurrection, and when he went back to heaven, and then he came back to this earth for 40 days. That was the last time anybody had seen him. I don't know what it looks like. The only thing I can do, I can imagine how good looking he is, how handsome he is. And I have the, I don't know why, but I always had the phrase, you know, somebody come and ask me or something like that, you know, how you doing? I said, I'm doing pretty good. He said, what? I said, yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Who are you talking about? Hey, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who created this body. And I ain't seen one yet where he created was one that looked defiled and ugly and all like that. I said, yeah, now we can go out here and we can commit sin. Go out here, if you go out here and stay in sin and do all the sinful things the devil wants you to do, yes, we can cause our body to get down to where it don't look all that good. But then they can, then they could come back and they could say, devil, forget about it. I'm not going to follow you no more. I'm not going to serve you no more. It's something that's been on my heart. It's something that's been tugging at me. And I'm going to try. Come and try the Lord. Ask the Lord to save his soul. Then he give a Lord the chance to do the work, to serve him. Do you think he ever wants to get back into the same old rut that he was in before? Shooting up all the dope and drugs and the drugs and heroin and all of that. And go out here and buying all the alcohol that you can buy and take it to where you could, you're taking your money away from your family. You're not feeding your family. No, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do nothing but satisfy the Lord. Satisfy the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's on my heart. I want to satisfy him, not myself. Because I can't satisfy myself. But I can satisfy the Lord. How can I satisfy the Lord? How can I? In doing what he's asked me to do. Doing what he saved me to do. He did not save me to, for me to get in church and just sit on that pew and just be a pew warmer. Mm-mm. If that's the case, then, well, if he's going to be that way, and he's going to save people to where they can just come to church and just sit in their pew and be a pew warmer, then why don't he just say, well, Lord, he said, well, Lord, thank you for saving me. And then he knows it, that I won't just be a pew warmer. What are you going to say? He was like, well, I don't need no pew warmers. I need some pew fellers that will go out and have people to come in and bring people and allow them to fill the pews. Because see, if I don't, I'm no good to him down here. So if I'm no good to him down here, he'll just take me on home. It ain't don't need me taking up space. Ain't don't need me just taking up and breathing the air and all the oxygen and everything that I have. There's no needing for all of that if I'm not willing to do something for him. Look at what he done for us. He took a beating, first of all, for all of us. And when he took that beating, that wasn't the end of it. You know, when they first carried him before Pilate, Pilate says, he hasn't done anything. What has he done? Let him go. Now, the people then said, crucify him. Crucify him. That's what the people are saying today in their own way. And they said, well, you know, I know y'all ain't got but a few people down to church. Says, I understand y'all don't have no really young people, teenagers coming. I said, well, no. I said, but you know something? You could be the one to start it. You could be the one to come down there and be the backbone behind it and getting it started and getting and going out and witnessing it, getting other people in church. But then they come and they say, well, what have you got to offer my children? What have you got to offer Johnny? He's a teenager. What have you got to offer him? They don't think about their individual soul. And I tell them, I said, well, I got the most important thing, and that's God's Word. But I believe the reason a whole lot of parents ask the question, it's not for the child. It's for them. For them. What they're doing is they try to come up with an easier way and say it. Well, you know, he ain't said anything about this, and he ain't said anything about that. I need to know. I need to know what the church has to offer. I tell him, I says, well, the church, me and the church, what we have to offer is the same identical thing that Jesus Christ has to offer. But you got to come and accept it his way. Because if you don't come and accept it his way, then you're just going to be coming in and just taking up space. But people get it so in the head today that they think that if they come to church and they come and they sit in the pews and they'll stand up and they'll sing all the songs they sing and everything, They think that they have done something for the Lord. They think that I went to church this week, and I know the Lord's going to bless me. What little blessing the Lord may bless them that week with the air that they breathe, the strength that they have, the eyesight that they have, the hearing that they have, the walk that they have. See, all of that's a blessing from the Lord. Every bit of it. But He wants to do so much more for us. In the Word of God, it speaks about it would be better for an individual to lose his limbs and all of that. Than to have his everything else about him, his senses, his four or five or six senses that thing he got, I forgot how many it is, but than to have all the senses. It's better for a man to walk around blind than a man that would have his eyesight and die and go to hell. Be better for that individual. Lose his arms and know the Lord Jesus and know that he's going to heaven. But no, we got people out here. Say, well, you know, I wish you, Lord, would do this. I wish you, Lord, would help me with this particular ailment. The Lord has brought that particular ailment on us. Sometimes it's done by sin. And sometimes it's just that He wants to test our faith. Our faith needs to be tested daily. My faith needs to be tested on an hourly basis. Because I don't know what I'd do if I did not have the faith that I have and what I can muster up right now, that I can just trust my Lord to take care of my family and take care of me. I don't need to know what next month is going to be. I don't even need to know what tomorrow is going to bring. The only thing that I do know is I'm in the palm of His hands. When I go through tomorrow, He's going to be just as close to me tomorrow as He was today, if not closer. Why? That's God. That's God. That is God. We must continue on with the faith. Without faith, what have we got? Nothing. We don't have prayer, what do we have? Nothing. And both of them, I think, work hand in hand together. But I know one thing, that He loves you and he loves me. That's one thing I do know. And I can say that with 110% surety that he does love us more than we can ever think about ever loving him. Because there's no way we can't imagine. I couldn't anyhow. And I don't believe any of you here could imagine going through a day and facing the things that we face every day. Some of them may be bigger than others, some may not. But we could not even go and face today without him. No way. If there's anybody in here that can go and face tomorrow without the Lord, I'd just love to see you raise your hand. You can't do it. You cannot do it. He is so good to, you know, let's look at what he does provide for us. He provides for me to have a lung that I can breathe in the fresh air. The way I can have the strength to walk. And right now, which my walk is not all that steady right now, but you know, I mean, I thank the Lord for what he has done. I mean, I thank the Lord for the speech that he's given me. I know sometimes it's not eloquent, and sometimes seems like I get words here lately twisted about and everything. But, even with that, I can say this much. I love the Lord. Yes. I love him with all my heart and all my soul. And what I feel here, that's what I want everybody else I hear to feel also. I'm not the type of individual who says, well, hey, thank you, Lord, for saving me. And then don't share it. I need to share it. And I shared it with my brother, Darrell. I went to him and I shared it to him. And then he says, Donnie, if that's the only reason you're coming out here, it's preached to me. Don't come no more. Somebody else might have said, well, if that's the way you feel, I won't be back. When I left there, I told him, I said, well, Darrell, I says, I won't bring the Lord up to you, but I'm gonna bring you up to the Lord. Twenty years it took for praying. And I was really wondering if he was ever gonna get saved. But boy, when he got saved, right before he got saved, he had them great big old crocodile tears coming down. And he's about a year and a half, maybe almost 2 years younger than I was. First time in my lifetime I ever seen him shed a tear. But see, he shed a tear that time that meant something. And he says, "Dinah, I just want to get saved." He says, "Can you help me?" I says, "Yeah, I can't save you, Darrell." I says, "Not but one that can save you." I said, "But, you know, I can tell you how." And I tell you what, since then, really, as far as me going out and visiting and telling people about Jesus, I mean, it gives me more of a unction to go. It gives me more of a desire in my heart to go. Why? It's all about Jesus and what he's done for me. What he's done for me. I had somebody this week had found out what I was going through, and I had never told them. Matter of fact, they don't go to church. I don't think they even know the Lord. And they said, "Why do you keep on doing what you do? Look at what he has done to you." I said, "He ain't done nothing to me. He saved my soul. And if I can go ahead, if I can do something else, one little thing, that's what I want to do." He said, "I don't understand it. I don't understand you or some of these others I hear. Y'all are so fanatical and everything about y'all's Christianity and everything." I said, "Well, the thing about it is, it's not the fanatical, being fanatical about Christianity. I'm just a born again believer, saved by God's grace, on the way to heaven, going through some stuff down here that I don't even know anything about." I said, "But I'll tell you one thing." I said, "The God that I serve created this body. And the God that I serve placed that liver in the place that he wanted it. He placed the kidneys where he were placed. He placed everything in the right place. He knows each organ that we have. He created it. And when I go to a doctor, and I know some of them out here, they just, I don't know what it is. They just don't want to believe in the Lord. But you would tell you what, I've come to find out, and going to doctors, the more doctors I go to, majority of them that know the Lord, come from overseas. One here in town I go to, I can't pronounce his name, Dr. Wushu, I think it is. You know, he come from Africa, in the lowest part of Africa. But he knows the Lord. Brother Gil Hawks, now Brother Gil asked him. He says, "Do you know the Lord as your Savior?" He said, "Yes, sir, I do." He said, I went and I listened to a missionary from his states. That's how I got saved. And when he takes his vacations, you know what he does? You know what he does? He goes back to his home country. And he takes what time he's got there to help the people. And whatever they need as far as being doctored on, anything like that. Why? Because he loves his people. There are people out here just don't love people. I don't understand that. I don't understand how people can say, "Well, I just don't love people." I even had a preacher one time come and say to me, he says, "You know, I told my wife when we first got married, I told her then, and when I proposed to her, I told her I loved her. I loved her." And he said, "I haven't told her since." As a preacher, he'll tell you, he just don't love people. Take care. Don't get too chilly.
I hope not.
But he just don't love people. Now, how can you be a preacher? How can you be called of God and not love people? Further than that, how can you be a Christian and not love people? Because that's what he teaches. We must love one another. And I'm
commanded by God's word that for that individual that the other year cursed me out because of this and that, I've got to love them. It ain't that I need to. I have got to love them. That's what God's word says. For me to be close to God, that's what I've got to do. I've got to love them. It says, "Love them that despitefully use you." And that's speaking of the, I think that's speaking of the Christians that's in the church. They will use you. People in the church will use other people. And when they do, it's sad. It really is. I just don't think I could go walk around I don't think I could go and walk into a church, whether preaching or not, if I didn't love people. And you know, that's what caused me to get saved. somebody else loved me. They was willing to come and bring the gospel and share it with me. And I'm so thankful for that. Because if they hadn't come, if that'd be like the others I hear, if they hadn't come and shared it, who would have? I don't know. I don't know. But I'm so thankful, I'm so grateful that they was willing to do that. All three of them now are going home. All three of them, and right now it's going home. They're right in heaven. They taught, those three taught me so much. They did. Was two of them, was one there, which was, ended up being my Sunday school teacher. He took me under his wing. He says, I want to teach you this and that. I want to show you what we can do, what we do at the church. He says, you come tomorrow night. Be here tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. On a Monday night. And he says, you come. What we do, we have prayer. Then we go out and we visit people, what we call visitation. Well, I didn't think about it here. What's visitation? Why you say visitation? If you're just going to visit somebody, I want you to say, well, we're going to just see somebody or something like that. But see, he taught me. And he said, and he told me this. He said, Donnie, he says, when we go out, I just want you to just watch and listen. Watch and listen. Because you're a new babe in Christ. I said, okay. It won't. Second week, told me the same thing. He says, just continue and watch. And you can learn. Well, the type of job I had, I didn't go no 30 minutes where I was speaking. We went out, and he started talking. And I said, well, I got to say something. And he was talking to the individual that was lost. I told him, I said, son, I said, you know, 2.5 weeks ago, I said, the same shoes you was in. And I said, you know, I asked the Lord to save my soul. And he did. And I will be honest with you. I've never seen you in my lifetime. I don't know you. Know nothing about you. I said, but 2.5 weeks ago, I would not have come up and just started talking to you. That's the way I was. I says, but now, I just want to let you know what Jesus has done for me. And I want other people to feel the same thing that I feel in my heart. And if they feel that, If every Christian, every born-again believer confessed to know, say that they know the Lord as our personal Savior, if they would have that within them, that desire and that feeling that I have in my heart, if every one of them had that same type, we wouldn't have no half the pews being empty. You wouldn't even have one pew that would be empty. You wouldn't even have, the church is staying still. Why? Because you'd always see a building program going. You'd always see where they start a building. Last church I was at, I just basically said almost the same thing that, you know, if you just go out here and said, and I just tell them what I would like to see. I said, this is what God's vision is, what God has given me as far as my vision for the church and for the work here. I said, the vision that God's given me is that we have to enlarge the sanctuary. Then we have to enlarge the Sunday school rooms. We have to do more building on. Well, bless Pat, that evening I got back to church and I had two or three people on me. I said, well, preacher, we ain't got that kind of money. We can't spend that kind of money. Like, we're going to start tomorrow and build a church. But see, we all have got to have the vision. If we don't have no vision, what's the Bible saying? We perish. And praise the Lord, I'm not going to perish because God has given me a vision. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this day. And Lord, we want to thank you for thy presence. We want to thank you, Father, that yes, you've shared your love with me, Father, and with the other people that's here. And Lord, let us all feel the same kind of love that only you can give. The Lord, we could go out and we could just invite people and we could just tell people about what you mean to us. And while we're talking, Father, that something will just touch them in a way and realizing that we love you, Lord. More than life itself, we love you more. And Lord, help us as we go forward here at Faith Baptist Church. We trust in you and doing the things that needs to be done here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen.